That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Maggie and Perloff. And full confession, I expected to be talking about the Suns conquering the Mavericks and the Bucks advancing past the Celtics today. I had no idea there was going to be two blowouts and the Celtics and the Mavericks would advance. Explain this all to me, Maggie Gray.
Perloff, I cannot explain it. I still can't sift through the rubble to figure out just how thoroughly embarrassed the Phoenix Suns were yesterday. As a number one seed, as Chris Paul, a future Hall of Famer, as Devin Booker, someone who could be on a Hall of Fame track. I mean, yesterday is inexplicable. We could go through all the numbers. I'm not going to make it make sense, but I do know one thing. We're about to step into the world of Luka Doncic.
No.
Just like, yes. Yes, Perloff, yes. I know this is going to be a nightmare for you. He is the most interesting person left in these playoffs. He's the most polarizing. No. It's Luka's world. We're all living in it.
No. I don't want to walk into this world. I want to stay back in my other world where guys no. like Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum are the big stars. I can't get on board with Luka. Full respect. I mean, obviously, I'd sound foolish if I didn't say he was amazing. He's unguardable. Either you're too small for him or you're too big and you're too slow. He's unguardable. But I don't like it. I'm not enjoying this experience, Maggie.
Wait, you don't like him as a basketball player or you don't like what he brings to the court?
I don't like that he hits a three over some scrub defender for the Suns, some guy who shouldn't even be on the court, like Cam Johnson or DeAndre Ayton, who stupidly switched out there, the lazy switch that I saw all day yesterday. And then he's smiling to the bench, to the sideline. Who is he smiling at, Maggie? Tell me, who is he smiling at?
He's smiling at Dirk and Lil Wayne, and he's smiling right into your soul, Perloff. See, that's why Luka Doncic is going to become the star of these playoffs now, right? Because you can look at the other teams that are remaining. The Warriors, we know very well. We know what Steph is. We think we know what Klay is, although he's a little diminished now. Jordan Poole, Draymond on the defensive end. Obviously, Heat and Celtics have their own rivalry, so this is going to be really fun. But Jason Tatum has like 100% approval rating. I mean, the guy plays in Boston, went to Duke, and he's beloved. I mean, figure that's the real mystery that's going on. And obviously, everyone respects Jimmy Butler, Heat culture. Luka's the big wild card here, and I love that he sort of splits people down the middle. You don't like him? I love him. Like, I love a guy who hits a three over somebody and shimmies in their face. I loved it when Steph did it. I like that kind of bravado. When they bring that to the court, it's totally appealing to me. And so, like, I say, give me more. You know, Luka might not be the easiest teammate. You know, ask Kristaps Porzingis how that's going. But, like, he was right. You know, he was right about Porzingis. The team was right about Porzingis. I think they have this shooting star here in Luka, and, like, I just cannot wait to see what he does. I'm all aboard.
Okay. I don't know that, you know, Jason Tatum might be likable, but Marcus Smart kind of makes the Celtics interesting and unlikable. You could root against Marcus Smart in the Celtics. You could root against Jimmy Butler in the Heat. And I don't know that people are sick of Golden State, because Golden State went away for a while, and now they're back. So there's a fascination there. But, okay, I will give you this, Maggie. The most interesting thing for me the rest of the playoffs is to see if Luka is for real. He's the one player that I can't miss. I will agree with that. But I'm still not convinced. I mean, he's a 35% three-point shooter. Now, the Suns were clearly imploding yesterday. It looked like they weren't even trying. I don't know what happened. They made him look great. But I don't like his style of game. You know who he reminds me most of? He reminds me of a slightly better James Harden. Just dribble, 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 dribble.
Oh, don't do that.
What? Statistically, him and Harden are nearly twins. What's the difference between Harden and Luka?
Well, to me, they don't appear to have the same game. I mean, I guess now that you're saying it, the step back threes, I get it. But I don't know. I feel like there's more. Are there more dimensions to Luka's game? Or am I just being prisoner of the moment?
More dimensions to Harden's game, right? Because
Harden's
a better assist man.
Passer, but Luka's still, Luka still averages like 8 assists a game.
Yeah, no, I mean, Luka's an incredible passer, but I think, a lot of their game was drawing those foul shots. Now, Luka's better than Harden because now, at least he's playing now. Luka's a harder matchup, I think, because of his size, but that's the kind of style of player he is. He just dribbles, dribbles, dribbles. Now, if you do double team him, you're going to pay because he can see out of that double team. But I like the Warriors. They represent everything that's great about team basketball. That's what, to me, it's more interesting, team basketball. Last night, the Mavericks, you know, it helps, by the way. Luka looked better because Spencer Dinwiddie was unstoppable yesterday, and Jalen Brunson's been great. You couldn't really double team Luka as effectively yesterday. I think that was one of the big differences. But no, I think like if you're a basketball purist, the Warriors speak to you more than Luka Doncic.
No doubt. The Warriors are the team that is the odds-on favorite. They have been for the last couple weeks, and I like that they're the favorite, and I think they deserve to be, although Heat and Celtics are two really, really good teams.
Yeah.
What I think is, I'm not going to disagree with you there. Yes, of course, the Warriors are like the prettier brand of basketball, sure, if you want to like be that guy. But the one most interesting person left is Luka, because you're right. You said yourself, you're tuning in to see whether or not he can do this, I don't want to say by himself, that's disrespectful to the rest of the Mavs, but sort of carry this team. And I'm just sort of curious about whether people love this guy or hate this guy, because you even said it there, you don't like watching him. I love watching him. Like, you and I just sitting here as two huge basketball fans are totally split on this. I have to believe you and I represent the rest of the basketball loving country, that everyone's kind of split down the middle. It's fascinating. And for the Warriors, I mean, I think they're going to get through this series, but as we've shown, Perloff, and as the last couple days have shown us, is that like legacies sort of get like written in basketball in a short amount of time, and rewritten in a short amount of time. I mean, case in point, Chris Paul, who's waking up to a hailstorm this morning. You've got former teammates, couldn't wait to get on TV to start talking about how easy he is to guard. I mean, everyone feels like they were waiting to pile on Chris Paul. It was bizarre to me. I didn't realize it was all this venom. I know he's gotten, pegged as a dirty player at times. He's not exactly Mr. Likable on the court, but I didn't realize everyone was waiting to take their shots at Chris Paul.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, taking one step back, I'm definitely picking the Mavs to beat the Warriors. We can get into that all week. You got the Warriors.
Okay.
Even with Luka, I think the Warriors are super vulnerable. But Chris, they have some of the same problems that hit Chris Paul. They're old, they're slow, they're not big enough, they don't have the right defensive matchups for Dallas and Luka Doncic. And especially like Chris Paul was such a detriment when he lined up against Luka, and this tired Chris Paul, I guess I agree with you. It does affect his legacy, even though it's just one series. It kind of colors all the other series to me. It's like, man, he's such a good chance here. But if you look at the numbers, game sevens through the years, he hasn't been great. So many playoff series where he's faded. We saw everything that could possibly go wrong with him. Listen, Devin Booker definitely took a huge loss last night, but the one that's really going to last to me is Chris Paul, because I don't think he's getting back there. So on his resume, when it's all over, he'll have a finals and have one Western Conference finals, and that's it. And for a top 25 player of all time, which some people think Chris Paul is, and some people think Devin Booker will be, like, you really need at least more than one finals appearance.
Definitely. So this was always sort of the compliment I feel like people gave to Chris Paul, because obviously he hasn't won a title, but they would call him a winning player. He's a winning player, even though he hasn't won a ring, which I always thought was, I can see it. I have to squint, but I can see what people are talking about there. Winning players, but you just haven't gotten over the hump yet, but maybe you will. But, I mean, if we're going to criticize James Harden, don't we have to save that same energy for Chris Paul? Don't we have to talk about game sevens and losing the last four game sevens and, you know, blowing 2-0 leads five different times in his career? I feel like it would be disingenuous of us not to criticize Chris Paul if we're going to hold that same energy for other players.
Yeah, so when you say winning players, so basically it sounds like we're talking about regular season winning players, like James Harden, unbelievable winner in the regular season. Russell Westbrook certainly qualifies that. Huge winning percentage in the regular season. Chris Paul, that's what I think they mean when they say winning player, regular season. I kind of thought that was Luka Doncic based on his style. That seemed to me like a regular season style, high usage, you know, not move the ball. Maybe I'm wrong about Luka, but those guys definitely all fall into the same category. Chris Paul, is it fair to put him right now with James Harden and Russell Westbrook? I mean, they got an MVP. He didn't even do that.
I think you have to. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, five times in his career blowing 2-0 leads and not even bringing up the times that he was injured against the Clippers and against the Warriors, like leaving that stuff out when he's fully on the floor. I know that he was, you know, they said that he was injured yesterday or that he's been banged up. I mean, obviously, right? Like, I'd hope so, because how would you explain that if he was 100% fully healthy? That would just be even a bigger, like, if I were him, I'd just make something up, because I would not want that to be me. And how, you know, he didn't make his first basket yesterday until they were up, or excuse me, they were losing by 40. I mean, Perloff, I know that the whole basketball world is just stunned by this, but you add on top of it the other postseason failures for Chris Paul, and I think ultimately that's going to be what is more remembered from him. I mean, obviously he's still going to continue to play, but up until now, he's going to be known more for postseason failures than he is for being the point god or for being one of the best 25 players. If you think he deserves to be there, I don't know. His no-shows in these games are too big to ignore, and we can't do it anymore. We can't do it.
I'm 100% with you. I don't think he's going to recover, because I think next year it'll be 38. The Suns probably or might not have DeAndre Ayton. Devin Booker will be a year older, but this was the chance, because I think the West is a little bit down. I think Luka and the Mavs are going to be even better next year. I think that the Grizzlies are coming. So it felt like this was the chance. Up 2-0 in this series. I don't see it happening next year. And I see sort of this is kind of the end of the road for him because of his age. I mean, Tom Brady and LeBron are fooling everybody. But Chris Paul, you really saw the age catch up to him. If he says he's injured, I'm not even buying it. I also think, can we just say the Mavericks deserve some credit? They obviously figured out how to cover him. Just get in his grill. They were so physical with both Paul and Booker. I think that had a huge part of why they both struggled yesterday. I think Reggie Bullock am I saying that right, by the way? Is it Bullock? The guy yesterday who was announcing the game was going very strong on the Reggie Bullock. You covered him in New York.
I thought it's Bullock. I mean, he was with the Knicks the last couple of years. Yeah. So I watched a lot of his games just working in New York. Reggie Bullock,
right? But last, if you listen to the game yesterday, they were making a point of calling him Bullock. Did anybody notice this? Stu's looking at me like I'm crazy.
We're going to get to do like a whole Western Conference Finals with him. So yeah. I hope somebody figures it out. What's the emphasis? What syllable does it go on?
I don't know. But those guys, those Mavericks, like kind of nobodies, were so in the grill of Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I think that's really what happened yesterday. Now, if they could do that to Steph Curry and Jordan Poole, then I really think the Mavs are getting out of the series. I think we might see a sort of a repeat of what we saw yesterday in Game 7 of the next series. I'm pretty excited to root against Luka. I'm enjoying rooting against Luka. Will you at least give me that, Maggie? I don't like him, but I enjoy like him.
How are you going to do this then? You want to root. See, this is where it'd be so much easier, Perloff, if you were just like everyone else and you just had your teams and you followed your teams. But because you're a guy and you switch your allegiances all the time, you run into stuff like this, which is you want to root against Luka, yet you think the Mavs are going to beat the Warriors. So how do you square this?
No, I think just from a basketball analyst standpoint, I think the Mavs are a great matchup against Warriors, and I think they're going to advance. That has nothing to do with my rooting interest. It's a lot like when I was rooting for Coach K. I don't like Duke, but I didn't want Coach K to go out early, and you were equally mystified by that take. I don't want to see if basically, if it had been the Suns in the finals, I think that would have been kind of boring. I do admit, I thought they were going to make it. I thought they were the best team. Obviously, they won 60-something games. But I will admit, not liking Luka is a fun thing for me to do. Like, I'm cheering against him. I want somebody to hit a three in his face and smile at the Mavericks bench as he runs by. That's what I want right now, Maggie. So I admit, that's fun. And I can't root for anybody in the East. And can you? Who are you rooting for in the East?
Well, first of all, the person who could hit a three in the Mavericks' face, I mean, there's got a couple candidates over there for the Warriors. They're not going to be hurting for threes in that series. But, see, I'm beginning to think that you're a bit of a mush here. I mean, we have not explored this yet, but once your 76ers went out, you went fully on the Bucks bandwagon, and it took all of 48 hours for them to get eliminated.
Yeah, I am stunned that the Bucks did not advance. In my wildest dreams, I actually, and I have it, you can see on CBS Sports Network, I was going to wear my Bucks hat today to work. I was positive. I had planned out my outfit on Saturday. It didn't even dawn on me. And then somewhere around the third quarter, I'm like, all right, the Celtics are up double digits, but that's okay because that's happened all game. The Bucks are going to make their run. You know, I'm a Sixers fan. I've always hated the Celtics. I can't stand Marcus Smart and his flopping. So, of course, I was rooting for the Bucks on Sunday. But you're right. I might be a mush. I mean, I think that was coincidental, I hope. But I don't know. I definitely am not rooting for the Heat or the Celtics. I'll tell you that right now. Those two teams have tortured the Sixers. And I'm rooting against Luka, but I think he will advance. This isn't all making sense to you, Maggie?
No, my brain hurts trying to follow any of this stuff. And no, it makes no sense whatsoever. We're going to make you pick somebody in the Western Conference Finals that you have to root for. I also love to know that you are picking out an outfit for a Monday show on a Saturday. Yeah. That is very revealing.
Well, I was looking through my hats because I was going to wear the Bucks hat on Sunday. I never got around to it. I put out a photo on social media of a Bucks hat, but I wasn't even wearing it. So... Yeah,
you can't even commit to your bandwagon team.
So I need a new team. Here's the problem. But I don't know. I can't jump on the Warriors bandwagon now, can I, Maggie? That's like kind of cliched.
It's a little cliched. Also, I'm already there.
You're okay.
Because I think that they've been. I've been picking them as the overall winner for weeks.
Okay, but you have a confusing thing because you're rooting for you like Luka. You enjoy Luka.
Yeah, I guess in the Western Conference, you and I are kind of the same there. Love watching Luka. I just think the Warriors are going to win.
No, we're not the same. I hate watching Luka, but I enjoy.
No, I'm saying we're flipped. We both think different teams are going to win, and we're on opposite sides about Luka.
Do you really like when he hits that three and he smiles in the first quarter? Like, that doesn't bother you on any level whatsoever?
No, not at all. Why would it? I love that kind of stuff. I think that he's got the attitude. I mean, I don't love it when they have the bad body language, which Luka's also known for, but absolutely. Why not? It's sports, Perloff. Like, this isn't, you know, some UN summit where you're really going to cause an international incident if you do something wrong. All he's doing is just being a total heel.
Because he hasn't won anything yet. That's my problem. Like, win a title, then you can smile all you want. But he hasn't done anything in this league yet.
I know, but if we were waiting around for everyone who was cocky and talked trash to win a title, we'd never have anybody. I mean, then the only person who could talk trash would be like LeBron and the Warriors. I mean, and Giannis. It would be boring.
I'm sorry. It's how I roll. I'm old school, Maggie. I prove something, win something, and then you can smile at Lil Wayne. I want you to just give a straight face to Lil Wayne until you win an NBA title. That's my policy. Always has been, always will be.
Yes. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Where are you on Luka Doncic? Because, listen, whether you like him or not, he's going to become the most hyped player left in these playoffs, number one. Number two, I love him. Perloff hates him. How do you feel about it?
No. Can we hate?
Sports hate.
Sports hate. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Not real hate. No, come on. We don't do any real hate.
By the way, he looks like a super nice guy. That's besides the point. I still can't stand the smiling.
Also, very quickly, so we want to take your calls. You can also find us on social at Maggie and Pearl. That's on Twitter, on Facebook, at Maggie and Perloff. If you are watching on CBS Sports Network today, well, hello. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. You will notice that I am at home. Unfortunately, I've tested positive for COVID. You can hear it a little in my voice. I've got sniffles, but overall, very mild symptoms.
And wait, I'm wait, so wait, grateful. What? What?
Yeah, that's why I'm home, Perlo.
Oh, my God. It just dawned on me that you're not, joking. Not a joking subject. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because luckily I'm feeling fine, knock on wood, and everyone was so gracious to, you know, get me set up with this equipment, and this was like a NASCAR pit crew operation. Got my microphone, got everything I need. Everyone on the radio and TV side has been awesome, so I might be home for a couple days, but I'm still going to be with you every day.
I have about 8 questions about your home setup. We can come back and get to them, but these are important.
Oh,
there's so many things I want to know.
Framed photo up there?
Save it. We need to come back and discuss exactly what is going on in the Gray household right now.
Okay. We will get to that in just a minute, but we want to hear from you. How do you feel about Luka? Are you rooting for him? Are you rooting against him? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Coming up in just a moment, another potential quarterback comeback. We'll talk about that as well. It is Maggie and Perloff right here, CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 158.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back here on Maggie and Perloff. If you watch on CBS Sports Network, we are in separate rooms. Maggie is home today. I'm here at our New York City headquarters. So, Maggie, before we get back into the NBA playoffs and talk a little quarterback unretirement, I have a couple questions about your room.
Okay. What do you want to know about my home studio?
Is that a Mother's Day gift, the yellow flowers behind you? It looks like it looks like a Kentucky Derby yellow flowers.
Yes, that was one of the flower arrangements that I received on Mother's Day. There were multiple. My husband was super, knows I love flowers and got me several different types. This is one of them. Yes, they made it into the home studio.
Okay. There's a poster that I can read it out barely. It says The Catch, I believe. What is that poster?
It says The Perfect Catch. So because you and I are friends for a long time, because we both used to work at Sports Illustrated together, when I got hired by Sports Illustrated to do videos for their website, they put me in the magazine, like a photo of me in Sports Illustrated, you know, me who played high school tennis, you know, to no distinction, got into Sports Illustrated magazine. And so my husband, who I was only dating at the time, obviously I bought 100 of those magazines. And he took that and got the cover, which has former Orioles catcher Matt Wieters on the front, if we're going to date ourselves a little. Also, John Wall at Kentucky is on this page. But Wieters was on the cover. And then so they had it mounted with the cover on one side and then the page I was on the other side.
That's really cool.
And I've been, you know, they put my photo in a few other times in the magazine, but this was the first one. And so I'll always remember that. And I'll always remember backup catcher Matt Wieters.
Easy one to remember. Lastly, there's a single white hat. It looks a little bit like a Crocodile Dundee hat on a cork board behind you. in my wildest dreams, I cannot imagine why you have a single white hat. Like, is this like rest in peace, Steve Irwin? What's going on there?
No,
what is this?
God, no. That's my summer hat. I needed something for the corkboard and I didn't have anything. And this morning has been obviously a little bit stressful just because, as I just said in the last segment, unfortunately got a positive COVID test. But, you know, I'm vaxxed, I'm boosted, I'm feeling mild symptoms. And I sort of had to put back together the home studio and I just had to put it up there. So it will be better tomorrow.
Okay. No, I like it. It's better than mine. I did 3 months of the Dan Patrick Show with just a white wall behind me. All right. So we're debating the likability of Luka and the Mavericks. Maggie, yeah. We got some calls. I think you're going to be on the popular side here. I'm anti-Luka. Maggie's pro-Luka. Calls 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Eric in Portland on Luka. What do you got, Eric?
Well, first of all, he's a slightly less likable Dirk Nowitzki. But first, I want to give Maggie some praise for circling back and calling you out on planning your outfit on a Saturday for Money Pulse. Just nothing gets by her. But here's the thing. I like Luka, but as an L.A. Laker fan and a Dodger fan, Ralph Sampson of the Houston Rockets broke my heart. Vince Young broke my heart when he did the last-minute touchdown against SC. The Texas, teams have really hurt my Dodgers deeply. So my feeling is I like Luka. I don't want any Texas team to ever win anything again. So that's but if Luka gets traded to the Lakers, I'm a happy man. So that's my take.
Well, Eric, you might be safe on the Cowboys, so that's some solace.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Let's go to Danny.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. You know, just really fast, Eric, or Vera Perloff, and that's a great call by Eric. You know, we spend a lot of time saying, you know, Boston is a really hated sports city, and we're talking about how do you pick who to root for between Boston and Miami. They're both kind of villains, you know, but we forget. I think a lot of people just blanket don't root for the teams from Texas, whether it's Eric because he's got some individual baggage, or maybe you're just like an anti-Cowboys person. But I think Texas also falls in that category, Perloff. We have to start putting them there.
I don't know. I feel like the great rivalries, the old rivalries, are in the Northeast. So I feel like there's a lot of like Boston, New York, Philadelphia, D.C. hate. I don't know if Texas draws that. Like, have you ever met someone
Cowboys
who's like...
Cowboys Steelers back in the day?
Cowboys, because they got involved in the East. But nobody's like, oh, man, I hate the Rangers. I haven't heard a lot of that, except for maybe Eric. All right, let's. I want a real Luka lover here. Let's go to Danny in North Carolina.
Hey, Andy, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Danny? You like Luka. You're with Maggie.
I do. Listen, it's been 11 years since the Mavs have been in this situation in the Western Conference Finals. He is, to where I see it, he is, and the Mavs are playing with house money. Nobody expects them to do anything. They already knocked off Phoenix. I think they could definitely knock off Golden State. And he's got the European game, man. I mean, it's so hard to stop him. It's not pretty, but he's pretty dominant, and I think he's pretty underrated. Actually as well, but he's really good and he's young and it's hard to root against the guy, you know.
Oh man, Maggie.
Danny, I think you brought up so many good points there. So first of all, we haven't even talked about how young he is. I mean, he's 23, Perloff. Like if Danny thinks that Luka's underrated, just wait 5 minutes because how he's going to get hyped up during these playoffs is going to be crazy, but I do think that he is deserving of the hype. I don't know if he's like, he's not the best player in the league right now. It's nothing like that. But if you're 23 years old and you're already putting together these kinds of performances, don't forget last year when they lost in a game 7, Luka and the Mavs, I mean, he scored 46 in a losing effort. I mean, this time he's incredible in a game 7. He's the reason why they won the game. I mean, Dinwiddie had a great game too. There was more to it. But Luka's the star, and by virtue of his age, we just have so much more to go with Luka Doncic. And I think that after these playoffs, we're going to start putting him into that elite category of best players in the league. And it's funny because I was thinking about this yesterday. It's like Jason Tatum, what he did for himself yesterday, and what Devin Booker may have done. It's like, you don't want to overreact off of one game, but don't you feel like their two narratives just went in two totally different directions for young guys in the league?
Yeah, I mean, for now, this obviously could change really fast. I don't think that Tatum, I mean, it's really more Booker. I don't think Tatum's legacy has changed that much because I think he took that step up. That 46-point game the other night was incredible, but he didn't really dominate game seven. So I feel like Tatum is already kind of on that upwards trajectory. I think Luka right now is ranked ahead of Tatum and Booker, even before that, because he's the dominant single superstar. I think one narrative, Maggie, what do you think of this? I think the narrative was it was Luka and he was alone, where Devin Booker was part of the better team. And the ironic thing is yesterday, I think you saw Luka kind of had the better guys around him than Booker. Booker, they were just double-teaming Booker with no fear whatsoever. So it was fine. It was kind of a twist on that narrative. I thought the guys around Luka were pretty good yesterday.
And add on top of that, they were good on the road in a game seven.
Yeah.
Where no team before that had won on each other's floor. So it's like, if you were asking me who are the role players who were going to show up yesterday, I would have thought the Suns, and instead they no-showed.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Sean in Oregon, who has his explanation for what happened in the Sun. What's going on, Sean?
You guys, I think Luka has arrived. And I want to say that, you know, players that are on Suns and players like that, those are stars, and they're all stars. Superstars are like guys like Giannis, guys like Luka, guys like LeBron, and they're the ones that are going to drag you to the finish line. Luka is showing you that players on the Suns are just squirrels in his world, and that he ain't afraid of people like that.
Wow. Sean, you know Maggie's terrified of squirrels, right? So be careful here.
I think
afraid.
That's a shame. You know, she's a human being, planet Earth. She's top of the food chain. And for someone to be afraid of a squirrel, that's sorry. When a squirrel comes at you, you stomp on the biggest one and you watch him scurry. That's what squirrels do.
Wait, is this prison or squirrels? What are we talking? I didn't know that you actually had to have a strategy for squirrels.
Opening day for squirrel season was Sunday in Oklahoma. My buddy just called me. He says it's opening day in squirrel season.
Like hunting squirrels.
What does that mean? What squirrel means. Season? Does that mean everyone gets a little uniform and they go take the field?
They probably do. They have a good time with that. And I grew up, you know, with going to an amusement park where a squirrel was the mascot of our amusement park. And if you would have grew up on the West Coast, you could have been a normal girl loving squirrels.
Wow.
You know what, Sean? I appreciate the fact that you ever thought that I could have been normal, no matter where I was born. I appreciate you there. Mm. That was never going to be an option for me. You know, the squirrel thing, I didn't realize that. Am I embarrassing myself with this squirrel fear, Perloff? I can't help it. It's
well,
just
definitely.
In me.
No, you're definitely embarrassing yourself with that. But that's not my question here. There's a squirrel season. So where do you hunt squirrels? Like, don't squirrels, like, kind of live in the suburbs? Does that mean that people are going around? Like schools are great places. Well, how do you, like, keep you in safe areas if you're hunting squirrels? Because they're everywhere amongst humans.
Okay.
I don't know.
Another question. Yeah. What do you do with the squirrel once you've hunted it? Are you taxidermying this thing and putting them up on the wall? What are you cooking it?
I've seen that.
Do you have to do?
Yeah, I've seen people who hang up squirrels, although I don't know why you would. I have no idea. I mean, wait, we could ask Rich Ackerman is here, and I know he looks like a world-class squirrel hunter.
I've been hunting a lot in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, like, that's the one animal you could hunt in Brooklyn.
Maybe so. I stay away from them, though. They're rats with nice-looking tails.
Oh, there you go,
See?
Maggie.
Thank you. Rich gets it. He understands.
I mean, they are in the same family. Am I correct?
I don't know. I'm rodents. Are they rodents?
I believe so.
You know what? I'm going to defer to Ackerman on this one. Noted squirrel enthusiast and also someone like me who would prefer to stay away. We learned a lot on that call. We're going to learn a lot more from Rich with his sports update. Coming up next, we will get to that one quarterback who may be on the way to a comeback.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Now, just when you thought you might be done with the quarterback carousel for the offseason, well, at least mostly done, we got a wild card today, something that I didn't expect at all. I think you were surprised by as well, Maggie.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, surprised that, according to the New York Post and now some others, that Drew Brees was not going to be on NFL studio duty or games this upcoming year. Now, apparently he still had an opportunity to do Notre Dame football. So the idea that Drew Brees' media career is totally over, I think that's been a little overblown. But what I thought was really interesting, Perloff, is when he sent out a tweet that said, "Despite speculation from the media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all the above. I'll let you know." Okay, I'm assuming that the golf and the pickleball is probably a joke. But the football is something that we kind of have to take seriously, Perloff. I mean, Drew Brees is, what, 42 years old? He was out of football last year. But these days, because players like Tom Brady have these long careers, I think you have to take it a little bit seriously. Like, maybe Drew Brees is contemplating a comeback. And on top of that, I think Brees would be crazy not to contemplate a comeback. Why shouldn't he want to come back and play if he feels healthy enough?
Well, because he just had shoulder surgery. We just learned that he had left shoulder surgery, not his throwing shoulder, but as early as May 3rd. So to me, that says two things. A, he's not going to be ready. B, that he wasn't thinking about a comeback, because you wouldn't get shoulder surgery in May if you're going to come back. So if he is going to do it, Maggie, I feel like maybe he's talking about next year, because I just don't see how this could happen, because Sean Payton's not there anymore. He's got to learn an offense. Unless, I guess he could go back to New Orleans to be okay. But otherwise, like, isn't it too late now? We're already into mid-May. How is the ball going to get rolling towards him being on a roster and helping a team this year?
Okay, so first of all, don't know the extent of the shoulder surgery, but as they say, it's always minor surgery when it's someone else, right?
Yeah,
so don't know exactly
the shoulder's a big deal.
I get it. Baker Mayfield's coming off of this. Jimmy Garoppolo, though, Garoppolo's on the throwing shoulder, right? But so here's the thing, right? You said that the reason why you don't think he's playing football is because he got the shoulder surgery. That's why I think he is. I don't know, once you retire, like, was this surgery something he had to do? Is he in acute pain? Could he have just lived the rest of his life you know, without having the surgery. I'm wondering if he's getting the surgery, Perloff, because he's contemplating a comeback. But listen, who knows what Brees's motivation is? But I can tell you this about Drew Brees. I've interviewed him a few times. I can't claim that I know him at all. But this is a guy with an edge to him. And the reason why I say that is because Drew Brees is, you know, a nice enough guy, like, you know, philanthropic in the city of New Orleans, has become a hero there. But have you ever, like, heard him talk about Commissioner Roger Goodell? Like, after what happened with the bounty gate, I mean, he would go after Goodell at times in interviews and stuff, and you could see that he has this edge. Plus, I think he played with an edge. So, okay, what's happened the last couple weeks? You have, you know, Tom Brady decides he's going to retire, then unretire. Then we find out that Brady may have been trying to poach Sean Payton, or the Dolphins at least were trying to poach Sean Payton. I don't know how much Brady had to do with any of that. Depends on what you believe, what you read. Maybe they were trying to poach his coach. Maybe, and then on top of it, Drew Brees, who has gone into the media and it hasn't gone that excellently, now Tom Brady gets a 10-year, $375 million deal without ever doing a game. Maybe this has put this massive chip on Drew Brees' shoulder. Like, hey, my stock is down, but this is not how I'm going out.
Well, I got to tell you, I saw him play at the end of his career, and I know he's hurt, but this will not help. Coming back at 43 off shoulder surgery on a new system, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. I mean, we saw it was bad toward the end. It was really bad. It was hard to watch a Hall of Fame player struggle that tremendously. I mean, he never even really had great arm strength to begin with, but it went so far down. I can't imagine that he's going to be physically anywhere near where peak Drew Brees was. And I don't think he had that much room athletically to go down. I don't see this happening at all. I know, like, there's guys who've talked about it before. Like, Kurt Warner said he got invited back at 43. Troy Aikman, they got a really late invite back. I think for Drew Brees, this is not a good idea. If he really is contemplating it, I would tell him, forget it. Do pickleball, do golf, and don't, by the way, don't laugh at pickleball. That's the sport of the future. That is the hottest thing out there right now. And you know, Drew Brees, as I told you the other day, he beat Andy Roddick in tennis twice as a junior. So I do think you're right. I agree. He's super competitive, like absurdly competitive.
Yes.
So all that rings true, Maggie. I just can't put it in my head together how this is going to work. Because if it's not going to be the Saints, I mean, maybe it is the Saints, but if it's a new system at this age, even to do like a midseason replacement, how is he going to get in football shape, and how is he going to learn probably a new offense? That seems like a Herculean task.
Okay, well, there's a couple things about Drew Brees, and all that stuff is true. Perloff and I did talk about Drew Brees and his former tennis career. Also agree with you on the pickleball. Seems like it's really fun. I feel like you and I should take it up.
Oh, but the thing is, you've never played. It's amazing, Maggie, by the way. It's so much fun. It's like ping pong and tennis combined. But go ahead.
I feel like it was made for me, a former tennis player, much long retired. I've been retired much longer than Drew Brees, I should say, for my tennis career. But I think that what's interesting about Drew is, yes, I'll agree with you on all those points, except his accuracy, even that last year, was still over 70%, Perloff. I mean, that's really good. To be a game manager, which I know is normally reserved as like a slight for somebody, but at this age, to come in and be a game manager for maybe an offense like Seattle, where you know they want to run the ball a lot anyway, or another team, maybe for New Orleans, you know, which New Orleans, though, has like a few more horses, like, if Michael Thomas comes back, Chris Olave, like, you're really going to want someone with a good arm to try to work there. I don't know if the Saints would necessarily be the spot. But if you're talking about a team that's primarily run first and they need someone to come in, they don't want a lot of commitment. I mean, do you think that Drew Brees could hold down the fort in Seattle?
No.
Absolutely he could.
No,
what about the Panthers?
No,
definitely.
I don't even think Drew Brees could beat out Drew Lock and Geno Smith. Like, they know the offense. Well, Drew Lock's learning it now. But just I don't think that he could come in and run Seattle's offense. That sounds crazy to me. Because
why? A handoff on first down, handoff on second down. I mean, boom, I just taught it to you.
What? It's 3rd and 8, and Drew Brees is sitting back there with like all kinds of surgeries. Like, I think he'd be killed. He can't even run away like Russell. I think that's a bad situation. And, you know, that 70% was kind of shallow because there was a lot of screen passes, it was a lot of short passes.
I know, but you could do that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you can play into his strengths if you wanted to. And, like, yeah, you know, you're talking about he can't even scramble around like Russell. Well, at least the Seahawks finally drafted an offensive lineman. I mean, maybe they're making some upgrades right there. I know rookie offensive linemen can be a little bit of a mixed bag. But, you know, to me, like, this is where this is where I kind of get it from the athlete standpoint. You and I would normally look at it from our own vantage point and say, listen, you've made tons of money. You're going to the Hall of Fame. You don't have anything else to prove. You've got your Super Bowl. But think about it for Breeze. Like, he probably thought he was going to be amazing at broadcasting right off the get-go. And you know what? It didn't really go that way. So either he's going to double down and really commit and learn the craft of broadcasting, and that could happen, or he might say, you know what? I'm going to go back to what I'm good at. Didn't Jason Witten just do this with the Monday Night booth? He was not good at Monday Night. You know, he just didn't take to it, and then went back and didn't have an incredible season, but instead did something that he loved and went out his own way.
Yeah, but you can hide a backup tight end. Quarterback's a different situation. Like, if he comes back, he has to play. He's not coming back to be a backup quarterback. And let's take a team like Seattle. They're going to want to draft a quarterback next year. They're not going to want to bring in Drew Brees, who, worst case scenario, is he helps you win a few games, and then you're out of position to get the next big thing. I just don't see the fit. Maybe next year, if he has a full offseason, like, I think if he's going to do this, he needs to start in January with the team and work. I mean, think about Brady. Remember Brady before he got with the Bucs? During the pandemic, he was bringing them all out to the field and working them out. I think this takes longer. It seems ridiculous that he could try this right now.
Okay, so if it's not football, which I would not rule out for Breeze, what do you think he's going to end up doing? Do you think he stays in the booth?
I think there's some opportunities at Fox. Don't they need a one and a two team right now? So I would hope that he would get a call from them if he wants to continue that career, or pickleball.
855. Now I kind of want to see what he'd do on the pickleball court.
Dominate is what he would do.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's how you can call and get in touch with the show. Do you want to see Drew Brees make a comeback? Could he help a team make the playoffs? Maggie and Perloff. We'll talk to our good friend Rohan Nadkarni. He's covering the Western Conference for Sports Illustrated. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff right after this.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.